This is the September 12 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Ellen Dearden. She's at AgriView in Morton, Illinois. Greg Johnson comes to us from right here in Champaign County. He's at TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com. And Shane Holtorf is here from Logic Ag Marketing. He's in Alta, Iowa. Our thanks to all three of them for joining us on a very busy Friday. I think we'll start with you today, Ellen Dearden from AgriView. This morning at 11 a.m. Central Time, USDA released the September crop production and world and agricultural supply and demand estimates. What was your early assessment of the report?
Well, I thought the headline was the yield numbers from USDA, and corn came in at 186.7, which was down about 2.1 bushels to the acre, but larger than what the trade expected to see on this report. Beans came in at 53.5, down just a hair from last month, and but a little bit larger than the trade expected. So that was the headline news. However, from my perspective, the big news was the harvested acres coming in with big jumps in the corn, a smaller jump in the beans. But if we're going to harvest 90 million acres of corn this year, those yields at 186 look pretty large. USDA assessed production at 16.8 billion bushels, and that's really more than what the trade was looking at. So the immediate reaction on the corn was to sell off, then it came back to unchanged, then sold off again. So I think there's a lot of numbers here on the U.S. figures that the trade was looking at. However, I went right and looked at the world numbers, and I saw that USDA world ending stocks numbers on corn, beans, and wheat were all lower than what the trade was looking for. And I thought interesting too that the world bean oil stocks tightened up. I thought perhaps with the amount of cheap palm oil available to the marketplace, that the world bean oil stocks might have been higher. So basically in the US, the corn yields were high, west of the Mississippi River, and dropped some east of the Mississippi River, but they were still remained pretty darn high.
Just to go back through some of the numbers that you came up with, you gave us area harvested at 90 million acres for corn. Area planted raised 1.4 million acres to 98.7. Yield, as you said, down 2.1 bushels to the acre. It's at 186.7 instead of 188.8. Those numbers were big. The objective yield showed also one other item. This came from the executive summary where the ears per acre were just really, really high. They have been as high as 29.5 and three assessments. That was last year, but they really haven't ever finished in anywhere near that high. About 29.7, I think, this year. It's rough to see on that, but again, just a bigger number, more ears per acre and more acres to harvest from. So corn yield and corn total production is up as well. Anything else that you saw in those numbers that you think farmers should take to heart at this point as they look towards their own harvest and what they need to do?
Well, when I look at the corn numbers, we knew that the corn crop was a big crop. And to address the ears per acre, I'm hearing in the Western Corn Belt just outstanding stands. And that suggests to me that we would see more ears per acre. But Brazilian corn crop too, USDA raised that to 135, and that's up 3 million metric tons from a month ago. So we've got plenty of corn floating around in the world. We've got to figure out how we're going to use it, and looking at the supply-demand tables, USDA, I guess, is content to say that exports are going to be strong because they did not lower feed and residual use of corn.
Do you want to go through some of the soybean numbers more in depth for me as well? I know you talked a little bit about some of the changes, a yield down 0.1 bushels to the acre from 53.5 to 52.5. Anything else there strike you as unique and different?
Well, on the supply demand sheet, they increased crush 15 million metric tons, but then came back and decreased exports 20 million metric tons. So the ending stocks of beans really remained pretty much in line with what the trade was looking at 300 million bushel. It's not tight, but if we would lose a bushel or two on the yield, we could tighten that thing up again.
Oh, and we should probably finish the supply and demand table up for corn. They did raise, what, exports another 100 million bushels to 2.975 million, right?
Yep, and left the price unchanged, which I thought was interesting too.
$3.90. So they're looking at ending stocks at 2.11 billion bushels this month. It was 2.117 last month. I guess they didn't think that was anything we needed to change, so or at least as it's related to cash price. Now, farmers then, according to USDA, facing exactly mostly what they were looking at going into this as of August 1, not through, which is different, I think, than what they were thinking at 10:59 this morning, that they thought maybe there would be a lot less crop around and many more changes in the marketplace itself. What do you think the market will do over the next couple of hours, I suppose, and then how it will manage this going into the fall?
Well, I would say if December corn can hold above 420 going into Friday's close, that will be, from my perspective, a minor victory because that's kind of been a pivot point. We get under that, it's resistance, get over it, it's somewhat supportive. So I think that this market looks like it still wants more information to make a move in either direction from that standpoint. The beans, however, look like they are looking at USDA numbers and thinking maybe we're going to see some lower yields on the next report and not much change in the acreages coming up. So maybe this 1040 area is a good area on November beans to find support.
And 426, which was the high as the time you and I talked for the December contract, that feels like that was an important number to hit today, too, at least to go through 420 and get a better shot or a better look at what might the upside potential to be.
Yeah, and that considers that 424 to 426 has continued to be an area that the market gravitates towards, but then can't quite get over it. So that's why I'm going to give myself a little grace today and say 420 is going to be kind of an important close.
You watch the livestock very closely, what things have been happening in that world that you are concerned about or that you find of interest.
I do think that the correction that we saw this week in the live cattle and also in the feeders, the day we saw feeders locked down the 925 limit, was a wake-up call that anything can happen on here. But these corrections, even though they're pretty broad sweep corrections, is still healthy for this market. Funds have been heavily long the cattle and feeder cattle in here, and I would anticipate that this week's roller coaster action likely has shaken some of them out of the long side. So we may try to go back to trading fundamentals. The cash fundamentals, fed cattle this week, cash, we're on the weak side of things. So maybe we're just ready to take a little break.
Indeed. Thank you much. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Ellen Dearden is with AgriView. She's in Morton, Illinois. Now let's turn our attention to Greg Johnson. He's at TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing, part of the elevator system that stretches across the southern third up to a half of Illinois into Indiana as well. He's located in Champaign County. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us again today after our Wednesday talk about the marketplace. Your early assessment of today's USDA reports told you what?
Well, the traders were kind of correct when they assumed that the yields would come down a little bit. But I think what took a lot of the traders by surprise was the acreage. Corn acreage number went up again. We went from 90.6 million 2 months ago to 97.3 a month ago, and now that number is up to 98.7. So if we keep going like this, we'll have 100 million acres of corn planted one of these months. And so that is dampening the effect of the lower yield. I think the traders were, you know, anticipating a lower yield, and we got a lower yield, maybe not quite as low as what some of them were thinking, but there are subsequent reports. But the main thing is the extra acres in corn probably mute the bullishness of the lower corn yield production.
And on the soybean side?
Soybeans, I don't think the traders were too disappointed in the fact that the USDA only lowered the yield by a tenth of a bushel from 53.6 to 53.5. I think everybody realizes it's almost impossible to estimate bean yield until you get the combine in the field. And so the expectation was that USDA would probably not change the soybean yield this month. They're going to let the combines roll here and get a better number a month from now. So if we are going to see a lower bean yield, you know, the fact that they didn't lower it today doesn't mean that they won't lower it a month from now. So I think the traders are okay with the bean numbers. USDA did lower exports. So the carryout is slightly higher, but a half a bushel change in the yield will more than offset that. So all things considered, I think it was a friendly report for soybeans, and it was basically a neutral report for corn.
After we're done talking with you, we'll talk with Shane Holthorf, who is in the western part of Iowa. They will have a distinct and different version of what this means to them going forward because of the size of the crop they have in that state. However, USDA putting both Illinois and Iowa now at 219 bushels to the acre. So it's not as if we have a small crop in the state of Illinois. In our part of the world, however, if you look at the drought monitor, and we have talked about this in the meteorologists have discussed it on the closing market report as well. We are in somewhat of a bullseye locally, and a drought that spreads to the south and a bit to the west through Missouri and parts of the Delta. I'm wondering what it might mean for harvest and when that really gets fully under the way. I knew you were taking a few soybeans in on Wednesday when we talked to you last. Soybeans probably going to turn really fast. Has that been ramping up over the past 2 days?
It has. We've seen our bean receipts increase every day, and that should continue. The one caveat I would say is that because we haven't had any rain, the beans are progressing at a different rate, even in the same field. So there's still some immature green beans in the field, but 95% of the beans might be ready to cut, but that 5% is still immature, and so some farmers are going to wait and see if they just mature on their own. Most years, one good rain will even those beans up, and we can have, you know, pretty uniform, consistent moisture beans. This year, it kind of feels like without rain, we're going to have some beans that are extremely dry and other beans that aren't quite fit, but I think they're going to get cut anyway. So that's where we are on soybean harvest. With corn harvest, the corn is drying down, but with the price where it is and drying charges where they are, I think most farmers are going to concentrate on soybeans for a while, let the corn dry down naturally. With this 90, 95 degree weather, we could lose almost a point of moisture a day. And so farmers will get the beans that are ready first and then approach the corn to try to get that harvested. But I don't think there's any rush from the farmer's point of view to get the corn out any sooner than they absolutely have to.
Now, producers locally and those who have had dry conditions for 35 to 55 days for soybeans will say, I think my early beans, the ones they're harvesting now, and you can confirm this, are pretty good. But the deeper into the season I get, the less likely I think they will be good. I want to know about that locally, and do you think that will be a similar set of thinking across the whole of the Midwest, just because it has been, you know, pretty rain-free in lots of places.
I would agree 100% with you locally. I think the early planted beans are going to be the best beans we see. We'll see some of those beans around here in the 70s as far as yield is concerned. And the expectation, at least mine, is that as we get into the later planted beans and the fuller season beans, that we could see that drop down into the 60s on the yield. But I don't think that's everywhere, because if you had decent amount of rain in July, then even if you got a few tenths here and there throughout the month of August, I think that might be enough to keep those bean yields in the northern part of the state, for example, in the western part of the state, in Iowa. I think we could still see some very impressive yields on the soybeans, even though it was relatively dry, because I think they had a little bit more subsoil moisture to work with. So yeah, East Central Illinois, I agree with you completely. The later the beans are, the lower the yield will be. But I don't think that'll be the case. At least I'm not expecting that for the northern and western parts of the state and the Corn Belt. As far as corn is concerned, the corn was farther along when the dry weather hit. So we will see a 10 to 15 to 20 bushel yield drop from last year. But last year was a record crop. So I guess I'm going to be optimistic and say the glass is half full and say that it's still going to be a good crop. But I agree, it's just, it's not going to be as good here in East Central Illinois as what it could have been, you know, where we were given 30, 45 days ago. It just looked like we had the potential to have another record crop of corn. And I don't think that's going to be the case now.
You mentioned a 70 bushel yield, but not an 80 or a 90 or an 85 bushel yield for soybeans. I'm wondering, given that number and the thought that this will tail off as we go deeper into the season, at least locally, whether that has changed your thoughts related to how much storage you need and or how much basis depreciation there might be for both corn and soybeans going through the fall.
Yes. First of all, when I say beans in the 70s, I'm saying that's an average. So there's, when you have an average, you're going to have some fields that are 10 bushels better and some fields that are 10 bushels worse. But, you know, the point is, I think they get, the yield goes lower, you know, as we get into the fuller season beans. So yeah, beans in the 70s, but we could have beans as low as 55 and we could have beans up in 85, you know, but in general, that's where I think we're going to be. So the overall smaller crop, I think, keeps the basis from dropping anymore. I don't think we have to worry about extremely wide basis. I think we'll have enough room to, you know, put this crop away. Yes, there'll be some corn piles outside because we're not shipping beans. So those beans will take up corn space and some corn will have to go on the ground. But the corn export pace is very good. I expect elevators to be able to sell corn, you know, may not be right when they want to. The trains may be a little delayed, but over the course of the fall harvest, I think corn will move, and that will eliminate extremely wide basis levels, which we could have had if this crop would have been 10 bushels higher in corn and 5 bushels higher in beans.
Is that a local phenomenon or one that would be wider spread across the Midwest?
I can't really speak for the Midwest, but I know here we were concerned about what we were going to do with the big crop. And now, you know, our expectations are that we're going to handle, you know, 15 bushels an acre less corn than what we thought 45 days ago, and probably 5 bushels less beans per acre than what we thought 45 days ago. So that's certainly the expectation in East Central Illinois. I don't know that that's everywhere else. So if the crops are big enough to the north and to the west, maybe we do see some weakening a basis in those areas. But I think Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, the southern half of Illinois anyway, Indiana and Ohio, I think those areas are going to be deficit moisture areas, lower yields. And so I don't think basis levels will need to get a whole lot worse in the southern half of Illinois and then all of Indiana and Ohio.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com. He's right here in Champaign County, Illinois. Let's move from this part of the world in the eastern side of the Mississippi River to the western side. Shane Holtorf joins us from Logic Ag Marketing. He's in Alta, Iowa. Thank you, Shane, for being with us. Again, remind us exactly where you are, because we only talk to you periodically. So where is Alta?
Yeah, Todd, thanks again for having me on, as always. So, Alta sits, I'm going to call it, in the northwest corner of Iowa. So we're about 10 miles north of Highway 20 and 70 miles east of the South Dakota border there.
Okay, so I know pretty much where you are. I think some of the rest of the crew will as well. Tell me about the crop there, and then we'll take a look at what you thought of today's USDA report. How's the corn crop and the beans, for that matter, in your area?
Yeah, so been an interesting summer. You know, we had moisture aplenty May, June, July, and then in August it stopped raining. Our lawns are all pretty well dead here, and it's been interesting. So I think we have some corn out there that is really, really good. And we have some corn out there that's going to disappoint some folks. You know, with the wet spring, we saw a lot of disease come in. Southern rust, as everyone's been tossing about, even with some fungicide applications, it still managed to find its way in. I think we're going to have a very good crop. We probably lost the top end from guys that have went and got some corn started. I've heard yields from anywhere from 140 to 270. This general area has done about 240 to 250 on average the last couple years. In the far northwest corner of Iowa, they had a derecho early on in the year, or I should say midway through the summer, and appeared that everything got out of it okay. As they started chopping, they realized that maybe the damage was a little worse than they had thought. And so they're pretty disappointed with the yields up there. So it's, in one word, very variable. So on the bean side of things, I think we're going to see them average to a touch above average. You know, they didn't like the wet start, but they really settled in late in the summer, and things look really good. Disease pressure, yeah, a little bit, but not as much on the corn as on the corn side.
Historically, I believe you're in crop reporting district number 4. It's the western district in Iowa, whether it's 4 or not.
Yep.
I don't quite recall. It is the largest producing corn producing crop reporting district in the state. Do you have a record crop?
I don't believe we have a record crop this year. Just with what we saw on the disease pressure side of things and some of the damage throughout the summer, I'm going to say that that we're a little bit soft of a record.
And how does it compare to previous years? I know you had several years that weren't very good.
Yeah, so our last 2 years have been really, really good. I should say the last 3 years have been really good. I'm going to say that we're probably going to be on par with the last couple of years. You know, I would say that the top end potential was far more early on in the summer, and then we just, you know, kept staying wet, allowed some of that disease to creep in and take our top end off. You know, on my own farm, I had some yield numbers in mind in early June, and I was out walking the field, and I know that's a dangerous game to play, but I've probably trimmed my expectations up on my own stuff by about 30 bushel to the acre since June.
Yeah, I remember correctly, there are about 8 ethanol plants within an hour's drive of where you are, I think.
Yep.
So you generally have really good basis. Is that maintained, or have they backed off on because of the size of the crop? What are they telling you about how they view what's coming to them this fall?
Yeah, so the interesting piece there is still a lot of physical inventory out in the country. Both sitting in the elevator's hands and the farmer's hands. And so they haven't gotten very aggressive on basis. You know, the last couple of years in this time frame, basis got crazy good until we got into the gut slot of harvest. And I just don't think we're going to see that. You know, we've been actually writing a lot of basis contracts here lately just because we think it's going to be a little bit different than it has in the last few years, you know, more so to what we're carrying over from last year's crop than what we're expecting on this year's crop. And the same could be said for the bean side of things as well.
So you're expecting to break how much?
On the basis side of things, you know, in this general neck of the woods, we've seen mid-40s, pretty standard for basis. And I could see us in the gut slot widen out to, and that's on the corn side, somewhere around 60. We see bean basis right now from anywhere from 70 to 85 under. And, you know, I think we could slide that, you know, close to a buck probably during the gut slot of harvest. I really hope I'm wrong. But, you know, we've got a lot of opportunity to chew it up with crush plants, and that demand has been strong. So I'm hoping if we can get through harvest, we'll see it rebound relatively quickly.
You'll feel pressure, I would assume, from the North Dakota side not pushing beans out the PNW, right?
Correct, yeah. I mean, they're, was I see the other day, they're a buck 60 under on basis. And, you know, I don't know what the rail freight to bring those down is, but it, you know, it's going to cover itself if they decide to go that route.
Give me your assessment of today's USDA reports.
Sure. You know, I guess the report is probably about what I expected here, just kind of, you know, some moderate changes. What's probably shocking to me is what we've done post-report on the trade side. Before I jumped on the call, I think we were up 7.5 on December corn and 14 on beans. And so, excuse me, the yield, you know, we kind of talked with our customers there in August that we believed that that would be the largest corn yield that we printed, mainly to the disease pressure that we had talked about. A lot of connections, Minnesota, Illinois, other parts of Iowa, and had kind of echoed the same thing. What shocked me probably the most was tacking on another, you know, 1.3 million acres of, you know, anticipated harvest there. So left the production, you know, relatively the same, in line with what the market was thinking here. And so, you know, this is a tough time of year. We're a lot more reliable and predictable than the August yield estimates, but truthfully, I think we need to wait for the combines to run to kind of help us hone that in. You know, on the bean side, again, not a lot changed from an acreage perspective or really a yield perspective. You know, as we look at this, we sit with the 300 million bushel carryout, which isn't overburden something, but it's comfortable. And, you know, so from our perspective, you know, I think everyone's got the same thought, is we'd love to start seeing some flash sales in the morning from, you know, quote unquote unknown, to be able to start chewing some of that up a little bit.
Hey, thank you much, Shane. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Shane Holtorf is with Logic Ag Marketing. He is in Alta, Iowa. Joined us here on Commodity Week. Our thanks go to Shane, along with Greg Johnson and Ellen Dearden. On University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.